This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is Inside Story. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, we're exploring the possibility that the government may impose fines on people who fail to show up for their vaccine appointments. So we want to find out whether this is the best approach and how else we can encourage and ensure people actually get vaccinated when they say they're going to. We'll also be speaking to an initiative that's transporting the elderly to vaccination centres, since we know transportation has been a block. So tell us, what do you think about fining people who don't show up for their vaccine appointments? Is this going to work? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. All right, it is 6:07, and let's dive right in. As mentioned, the government is proposing potentially to impose fines on people who fail to show up for their vaccine appointments. This is coming from Health Minister Dato' Sri Adam Baba, who says that they're currently in discussion with the National Security Council to start imposing fines. And for context, this is coming after reports that more than 52,000 individuals across 7 states have missed their appointment dates. Kedah alone is reported to have registered more than 20,000 missed appointments. And on the flip side of that, the government has also been urged to relook the notification systems, since many MySejahtera app users said that no notification was given to them. And I think, as we all know, it's not reasonable necessarily to expect people to check and update their MySejahtera daily just to see what's going on. The minister also said the public has to realise that the vaccine is free, the rollout is being done in stages, and so the argument is that applying penalties and mandatory vaccinations has to be implemented when voluntary avenues such as online registrations are not working. So that's the question, right? Do you think that punishment is the way forward? And if we look at other countries, it's kind of a mixed bag. So in Indonesia, Jakarta residents risk being fined 5 million rupiah if they refuse the vaccine. This followed on from a presidential order which said anyone who refuses to get vaccinated could be denied social assistance, access to government services, or be fined. And that curbing of access is something that other countries have done as well. So the EU and Australia have considered travel restrictions for those without vaccination proof. Brazil's Supreme Court ruled that those who reject a vaccine could be banned from certain public activities and spaces. Singapore has threatened to not reserve doses for those who decline to be inoculated. South Korea has said if you skip, you get booted to the back of the line. However, those are all the people who chose the more punitive path. We could also look at the countries and states that are looking into a more punishment, looking into a more sort of incentive-based approach. So in Ohio, in the United States, the governor has offered big lottery incentives, such as a $1 million prize and college scholarships, in an effort to get people vaccinated. This also just came out in Hong Kong. They are doing it's quite a crazy lottery. So it's a 10.8 million Hong Kong dollar flat that is up for grabs in a lottery for vaccinated residents. And this is going to be a lucky draw. It was put together by property tycoons. And I think in a place like Hong Kong, where property is at such a premium, this is an amazing prize. So contrasting, therefore, this thing between punishing people who don't show up or trying to incentivize it, I think that's an interesting push and pull. Would love to know what you think. You know, firstly, will a fine actually make people show up for their vaccination appointments? What do you make of the people who haven't shown up? I think that there are a variety of reasons why that could be the case. We know that transportation can be difficult. That we know sometimes, as we heard earlier, some people just miss their appointments because of notifications. So yes, is a fine the way to go, or is an incentive maybe something that we could look into? Let us know your thoughts. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be talking about how this might work and whether it would actually get people going. So we'll be joined by Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul Majid, consultant psychologist with Mercy Malaysia. Send us your thoughts. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9.
The Business Station.
It's 6:13 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Our focus this hour is on a proposal from Health Minister Datuk Sri Adam Baba to impose fines on people who fail to show up for their vaccine appointments. This is after more than 52,000 individuals across seven states have reportedly missed their appointment dates. So we want to know, do you think that fining people, punishing people who don't show up is the way to go? Or might we potentially look at incentivizing, as we're seeing in places like Hong Kong with a property lottery draw, or Ohio where there are $1 million up for grabs for people who get vaccinated? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So now we're looking into the psychology of it all, right, in trying to address this issue of why it is that people are not showing up. Joining us on the line for that is Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul Majid, consultant psychologist with Mercy Malaysia. Dr. Hari, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's good to be back.
So if we look at this proposal or this consideration from the government to impose fines, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think that this is the way to go?
All right. Okay, Lynn. Imposing fines, like you said earlier, is considered a punishment. It's a fear tactic, and it may be effective in the short term. You may see behavioral changes in some people, as this fear of being fined may lead them to actually go for the appointments. But as with many appointments or punishments, that we put in place for other behaviors that we consider undesirable, we may not see changes in attitudes, in perceptions and behaviors of those concerned in the long run. So people may get upset, and their resentment towards vaccine, the existing resentment towards vaccine, the leaders, the ministry may actually get worse. They may not think it is fair, especially when it comes to punishing those who generally were not able to make it and those who cannot afford to pay the fines. So we will need to manage perceptions and emotions of the rakyat lah. And if punishments are to be imposed, clear and consistent messages need to be given. They should not be conflicting. And I think the most important thing, especially with what's happening here in Malaysia now, is that the imposition of fines should actually be consistent across everyone, regardless of background. So no double standards or perceived double standards should be practiced at all. So, you know, for me, the fines may be effective or may work for a short period of time, but it may not be, it may actually cause more harm. It may not be beneficial in the long run.
I also wanted to look into the reasons behind why people might not be coming to for their appointments. What do you think it might be?
Oh, gosh, there's so many factors that could explain no-shows. You know, I've not actually read any research or interviews that have been done with people who have not shown up. But what I can say is based on, you know, the previous research or publications on vaccine hesitancy, for instance, we need to acknowledge that there are different factors that can contribute to this. First and foremost, I think we need to acknowledge that for some, the reasons are genuine. You know, we have actually also missed some appointments that we have made with doctors, for instance. They may be unwell because many of those people who did not turn up are also the elderly, warga emas. All right. There's also emergency that they need to attend to. Some have cited that there's no access transportation. Now, secondly, some who registered, especially among our warga emas, they're not ready. Their names are actually registered by the children, maybe without their consent, without discussions taking place before. So as a result, they may have a change of heart at the last minute. Some may have developed anxiety as the date of the appointment approaches. You know, they may have genuine fear. I think I've talked about this before, and genuine uncertainties about vaccination, about the side effects of vaccination they may experience. Many things can happen between the time that they registered and the date of appointment. You know, like they may have been receiving information or news about deaths of healthy people, new findings about different vaccines, you know, different advices they're getting from different people who have been vaccinated. And many may actually be vaccine hesitant. They are not willing to be vaccinated. And even if they're willing to be vaccinated, they're not ready. They're still contemplating about the benefits and the cons of going for vaccination. They may still need to process the various information. And we have a lot of information that's coming into our WhatsApp messages, our social media that they've been receiving. So engaging. So what they need to do, or most of them, It may not be obvious to us, but they are engaging what we call a decisional balance to be able to actually weigh the pros and cons of going for vaccination. Unfortunately, I think quite a number of them have what we call the ta'apa attitude, you know, that's often associated with Malaysians, the apathy, that based on their past experiences, they will be given another chance to vaccinate if they miss this one. So Malaysians have been, dimanjakan, you know, if we've not performed a behavior, a desirable behavior, we are given many chances. So this is not different from the patterns of behaviors we've seen in other parts of our lives. Like I said earlier, appointments with the doctors and hospitals are canceled last minute. All the confirmations have been obtained the night before. So, you know, because I think they know that they will get a next appointment, that they are needed to actually reach the herd immunity. So they will say, takpela, tunggulah, you know, as long as I have confirmed or I have shown interest in being vaccinated. So unfortunately, these behaviors may actually reflect a habit in our culture.
So with that then, I mean, a number of those things that you're talking about, particularly at the end about that apathy, it's so entrenched. And with vaccine hesitancy, it's such a, as we spoke about before on the show, right, it's a delicate situation and you don't really know which way people might go depending on what kind of information they receive on the day. How can we then continue to encourage applicants to get vaccinated?
Well, you know, there are different strategies we can use to encourage applicants to get vaccinated. And I think, you know, the different agencies in health, Kementerian Kesihatan, Ministry of Health, are doing their part. But I think we can and we should start thinking about doing things out of the box a little bit. Because people who are vaccine hesitant, they have a mindset that is not like, you know, our mindset. Changing mindset does not take place overnight. So our focus should not only be focusing on changing perceptions and changing behaviors, but we also need to evoke intrinsic motivation. As a psychologist, that is a very important thing. You know, we talk often about extrinsic rewards, but we don't talk about things or taking actions that are meaningful to the person or to the groups of people. So when it comes to vaccine hesitancy, like I said, there are different strategies that we can use. And I think first and foremost, as a researcher myself, we need to continuously conduct what we call needs assessment, because needs change over time. Like you said, you know, the information is received and they're processed at different levels, and perceptions and emotions as well. So I personally would like to see, for instance, the assessment questions in my suggestra to be modified into a Likert scale, for instance, you know, not just a yes or no format. We need more information from those who are vaccine hesitant or those who are about to register about their readiness level, about their confidence levels towards getting vaccinated. So sometimes people, you know, say, oh, they want to, they do not know, but they will write that they, you know, will go for vaccination. And this is what we see. They don't show up. So among those who are not very ready or not very confident, we can then find out what their needs are so that support can be given to help them fulfill their appointments. We can fill in the gaps in knowledge. We can provide them psychological support. We can be the cheerleaders. So when I say we, I'm not saying KKM alone, as they have their hands tied. But other allied healthcare professionals in the community should be mobilized, you know, such as psychologists like me. You know, we don't talk only about mental health. We work, we talk about attitudes and perceptions as well. We can mobilize people like medical social workers and pharmacies, community pharmacies, for instance. And secondly, we need to start thinking out of the box. And I'm pleased to share with you that Mercy Malaysia, in our efforts to support our Ministry of Health, in our media statement today, will begin our community outreach program in the middle of June, where we will mobilize our volunteers, our medical volunteers, to visit homes of the vulnerable groups to give them vaccination. So this way, those who are vaccine hesitant will feel that their barriers and concerns are addressed with practical solutions, and that the health providers do care about their well-being. Another strategy is to utilize role models that people identify with and trust to advocate vaccination, people who are similar to them. You know, the findings of a research published in January 2021 in Nature suggests that vaccine hesitant people of vaccine hesitant may be more receptive to authoritative messages regarding COVID-19 vaccination if they are delivered by individuals with non-traditional positions of authority and expertise. So in other words, non-medical people who actually provide or advocate vaccination. So I believe that engagement of you know, such figures, religious leaders, community leaders, people whom masyarakat trust should actually be continuously happening. So the key to preparation, I think, is and also addressing what we are seeing is to continuously engage with different people at different levels of the community to avoid, you know, people who are vaccine hesitant, who usually do have mistrust against authorities, feel that they are hearing from someone they can trust or they're willing to trust.
Right. And that kind of leads me to my next question, because we see a lot of reports and anecdotes going around about side effects. And I think that they're meant to give people a sense of what to expect. But on the flip side, they may also be frightening to people who are then worried or uncertain of what they themselves might experience, because we are seeing such a huge variance, right, in terms of how people react. So do you think that these sorts of sharings are helpful, not helpful?
As a health psychologist, I believe it is very important that we are truthful about a diagnosis, about treatments, about side effects of medications. You know, but unfortunately, not all, but some medical professionals need still to be trained about breaking bad news to patients. So that is a skill that needs to actually be sharpened. So the same thing with the way that we narrate the side effects of vaccines, for instance. So when we deal with patients, we need to make sure that we treat them as human beings who are capable of thinking and reflecting. So how we communicate with them, how these messages are framed are actually important. So the aim of highlighting the side effects should not actually to evoke fear, but to acknowledge in an empathic manner the challenges that they are experiencing, to actually say that, you know, we acknowledge that this, that you will experience this, that some people may find it more difficult to cope with this side effects, but for many of our patients, they do not last for a long time. And with the support of the people around you, with the medical doctors, you have access to us to find out more information, you know, these side effects will actually eventually go away. So I think it's very important that we learn. I often talk about narratives. I talk about, you know, how the messages are framed to deliver to people in an empathic and compassionate manner.
And so from your view then, and looking at the communication from the government, do you think that there has been enough empathy or understanding as to why people might not be showing up for their vaccine appointments?
It's a very interesting question. And I think, like I said, different agencies within Ministry of Health and other agencies are, I think, doing their level best to show that they are concerned about the citizens. But like with everything that is happening around us, we can still improve on the way that these messages are communicated. And I think it's very important, especially in authorities or among the authority figures, these characteristics, these traits are actually expressed a lot more, are more visible to the people around them. And I think I've just read today, I've just, you know, been scrolling, the social media, and one of our ministers is actually gaining the hearts of Malaysian netizens, people from different, even from those who are from opposing political parties, in the way that he is handling the vaccination registration crisis we experienced recently. So I think, you know, people may actually can or are seeing efforts being made by authority figures to show that they are empathic towards the challenges that the rakyat is experiencing. However, I think it cannot be on the shoulders of one person or one agency alone. We need to actually work together to be on the same page.
Dr. Hari, we just have about a minute left with you.
Okay,
there's also the possibility that Malaysians will be able to choose which vaccine they want soon. Do you think that this will drive more people to get vaccinated?
I believe so. It may create confusion initially, but with proper psychoeducation in place, continuous engagement in place, I think people will be more empowered and confident to make decisions that they deem to be important for themselves, that's intrinsically motivating for them. And I think self-empowerment can lead to self-control and self-regulation, something that we want to see in Malaysians. And more importantly, accountability. I think Malaysians need to start learning how to take responsibility for our actions so that we no longer blame everyone else for anything that happens, you know, and the mishaps that happen. So yes, I think it will empower. It may take time, but I think we will see positive outcomes from this.
Dr. Hari, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lynn, for having me. Thank you.
That was Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdulmajid, consultant psychologist with Mercy Malaysia, weighing in on the potential of the government imposing fines on people who fail to show up for their vaccine appointments, and essentially talking about all the different reasons why people might not be showing up and how we can address them. So what are your thoughts? You know, do you think that imposing a fine is the way to go? Should we be looking into incentivizing instead? You can let us know. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be back for your messages and thoughts, as well as looking at the people who are currently working to get people vaccinated, who are volunteering to do that. So we'll be hearing from an initiative that's looking into that specifically. So that will be coming your way after this on Inside Story. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:37 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. We're looking today at the possibility that the government may impose a fine on you if you don't show up for your vaccine appointment. So this is something that's currently in discussion. The Health Minister, Dato' Sri Adam Baba, has said that they are talking to the National Security Council about this. This is after more than 52,000 individuals across seven states reportedly missed their appointments. So we've been asking you, do you think that punishments, right? Imposing fines, is that the way to go? Or should we be looking into incentives? We spoke earlier about some incentives that are happening in places like Ohio with a big lottery $1 million prize, as well as Hong Kong, which is currently just, it was just announced, they are giving away or they're offering a brand new flat worth 10.8 million Hong Kong dollars. So yeah. Fines versus rewards, right? Which way should we be going? You can let us know your thoughts. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. Across the board so far, we've got lots of messages and most are not in favour of the fines. So CL says, forget about those who didn't turn up, write them off for now. The objective is 70 to 80% herd immunity, thus focus on mass voluntary vaccination. Follow the US method to have drive-in inoculations, for instance. And CL, you know, forgetting about those who didn't turn up is interesting because it's what other countries are also doing, right? Like we heard earlier that Singapore is saying that you'll have that delay or you will not be able to access the vaccine there for some time. South Korea has already said they're going to push you to the back of the line. We also have Chiangping who says, if the government suddenly say they can't vaccinate me on my scheduled date, change my vaccine date without approval, can I fine the government? Since the government wants to fine people who don't show up, the financial penalty should apply to the party that breaks the agreed date and time. And I think that this is something that is extended even in, let's see, another message. Yes, from CTU, from KL, who says they should make sure their system of notification is really working 100%. I have a friend whose father missed their appointment because they didn't realize an appointment has been set since they're older, not as tech savvy. But also a friend of mine who missed his vaccination, which they registered for, because they did not get the notification to the appointment because of a bug in the app. I think those who are vaccine hesitant or anti-vaxxers will not even sign up in the first place and therefore wouldn't have any appointments to miss. CT, I agree with so much of your message in terms of the system of notification. I think we definitely need to consider that. And that goes along with what we heard from Chiangping earlier, right? If we are going to go into this whole fining process, the punishment process, then we need to make sure that the system is running really well and really smoothly, because otherwise there's a variety of reasons as to why people might not be showing up. However, I think that, as we heard earlier from our guest, Dr. Hari, the people might have gotten signed up despite being vaccine hesitant, because people might have signed up on their behalf and then thought that they will convince them later. I think that there are also people who are hedging their bets, right? And just seeing what comes of signing up. And so, I don't know. I feel as if it's a very, there are complicated web of reasons as to why people might have signed up for the vaccine, but still nonetheless be hesitant. We also have Ao, who says, if you need to impose a fine on those who don't show up for their vaccine appointment, what will happen to COVID registration? The answer is it will drop, defeating the purpose of the process. Have distribution locations that are capable of storing the vaccines where people can easily reach, and set some expectations. What are the side effects, etc.? And do not waive the responsibility on the adverse effects of the vaccine. Which is also, I think, in response to a message that we got earlier about that disclaimer. I just wanted to quickly say that while we focus on that disclaimer, it's also worth noting that there is a COVID-19 vaccine injury fund. There's 10 million allocated in it for now, and that is to compensate individuals who may suffer side effects. So serious side effects that require lengthy treatment in hospitals, they stand to receive 50,000 ringgit, permanent impairments or death, even 500,000. I recognize that it's not the same thing, but just to say that that vaccine injury fund does at this moment exist. I'm just going to close off for now, at least, with this message from Kamarun Nizam, which is something that we're going to explore. So they say, for some reason, I do feel that there should be a down-to-the-ground approach. Perhaps a community-based approach should be implemented. Kampongs or tamans or workplace-based vaccinations can be looked into. The kampong with most registration can go first. Mobile teams can be set there. Then only you find people who don't turn up. And that community approach is 100% something that we've been thinking about as well, and something that we want to address. So that's what we'll be coming back to. Let us know your thoughts, though. What do you make of this proposal to fine people who don't show up for their vaccine appointments? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:44 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. We're talking today about the possibility of being fined when you don't show up for your vaccine appointment. So the Health Minister, Dato' Sri Adam Baba, has said that they're currently in discussion with the NSC to start imposing fines, which, we just want to know, do you think is a good idea? Do you think that it would actually do the job of getting people to show up? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So one element that we wanted to look at is one of the reasons, right, why people might be finding it difficult to get vaccinated. There are lots of things that have come up. For instance, just difficulty engaging or accessing their dates with MySejahtera. There's also the issue of transportation, the ease of access in general for these spaces, particularly if you are elderly, if you are differently abled, disabled. There are a lot of barriers. And so we wanted to spend this part of the show looking at initiatives that are helping people get vaccinated. So there is, for example, the GoVax initiative. This is happening in the district of Petaling, which is a collaboration between GoCar and the Kampung Tungku assembly person Lim Yi Wei, which is a free shuttle service for people above 60 years and who are above 60 years old and people with disabilities. This service will provide transportation to and from vaccine centres at Shah Alam Hospital, Rakan Medic Clinic and the Sunway Pyramid Convention Centre. This will be available actually from the 31st of May until the 31st of August. And if you're interested, if you would like to engage the service, that number to call is 1-300-30-2633. That's 1-300-30-2633. You can also request the GoVax shuttle service form on their site, hi.gocar.my. We heard earlier also Mercy Malaysia, starting from June, they will be providing door-to-door vaccination for those unable to go to vaccination centres. It's kicking off in KL and Selangor. And now we're about to hear from Teman Malaysia, which is a social enterprise that normally offers elderly care services in the Klang Valley for a fee. And they are now assisting the elderly to go for their COVID-19 vaccination appointments. So joining us to talk about this is Nurul Izzati binti Muhammad Nazir, CEO and co-founder of Teman Malaysia. Izzati, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lynn. It's my honour to be here today.
So I touched on this briefly, but maybe you could tell us more about what Teman Malaysia does.
Yeah, okay. So like you said before, we are a social enterprise born out of an incubator program called Seed Lab, powered by Petronas and also TCS. So we are actually providing companionship for elderly to assist in their daily activities, for example, going to hospital appointments, someone to go doing customized activities, mind wellness activities at home, and many more. We can assist them going to running errands, and whichever task that they need help with, someone is there to accompany them.
And among the senior citizens that you care for and accompany, how have they been feeling about the vaccination drive and the vaccines?
Actually, those who have been in contact with us was really excited to go. Most of the people that have been in contact is generally their children, their caretakers. So they're saying that these elderly are asking when is their turn. So I think most of the elderly are generally very welcoming to this vaccination program. And what's stopping them is not really the stories that they've been listening. It's more of their own limitation on going on their own, I think.
And on that note, you have started an initiative to transport elderly people to vaccination centres for free. Can you tell us about how this came about?
Okay, actually about that. We at Teman Malaysia curated a package, Teman to Vaccine, just to encourage people, general information, to book an appointment for health-related activities. Our minimum hours of booking is 3 hours, but for vaccination, we reduce it into 2 hours. But then when the hype of vaccination is arising now, we've been listening that people are having problem going to vaccinations. They didn't have anyone to bring them to vaccination. So when we advertise our Teman to Vaccine package, a few people come out to us, reach out to us, and saying that, hey, why not I give you a sum of money so that you can help those who are in need and who are not capable to go on their own, so that you can assist them to get their own vaccination. So that's actually how it snowballed into a sponsorship program, I would say. So yeah, it is not really something that we plan for, but it turns out beautifully.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I guess if you could also walk us through what the service will include.
Okay, so we call our companions Temanian, simply a combination of Teman and Companion. So once the customer book a service with us, our Temanians will be sent there to their home, get them ready to go to the vaccination center. We'll accompany them throughout the process, filling up the forms and everything. And after they're done, we'll simply send them back to their home. Yeah.
And who can sign up for the service?
Anyone, really. Yes, we are looking at the options of elderly who have problem, but we do know that some people are not able to go at the commitments. So we actually open the program for anyone that needs help with vaccination, since herd immunity is what we are striving the most right now. So yeah, anyone is welcome to go to Teman Malaysia.
And what areas will this be operating in?
Okay, so for now, Teman Malaysia, we are covering the whole of Klang Valley, Johor Bahru, and also Kota Tinggi. But from the tremendous request that we've been getting, we are looking at the possibilities of going into Seremban, Melaka, Ipoh, and also some parts of Kedah.
I wanted to also talk about this, right? Because you mentioned earlier that this was born of people saying, yes, maybe you can help the ones who are having difficulty with this. And from what you've seen from the conversations you've had, why are some folks having difficulty attending their vaccination appointments?
Yeah, like you said before, this group of people, the people that have been getting their appointments now are the elderly. So some of them doesn't even know that it's their turn yet. Their children are away since it's because of the lockdown and everything. So they are not able to go to the vaccination centers themselves. So that's where Teman would like to help, just simply bringing them from their home to the centers and back safely.
So if we have someone listening who's interested to become a part of this effort or to donate, would they be able to do so? How can we participate?
Okay, if anyone is interested to sponsor anybody's vaccination session, you can go to our website www.tamamalaysia.com, or you can simply call our hotline at 011-5645-3964. 011-5645-3964. So somebody will assist you on the line on how you can sponsor anyone for their vaccination program. Right now, we also have students that are locked down within their universities and colleges who are asking, can someone help them to go to the vaccine centers because they are not familiar on how things are. So that is also another category that we are looking into helping right now.
Izzati, in conclusion, what else do you think can be done so that more people who have signed up for the vaccine actually make it for their appointments and actually have a smooth process?
I think what, like we've seen before, the notifications, the messages from the app itself is a glitch, but we ourselves, as we want to be vaccinated on our own, we wanted our loved ones to be vaccinated, we should make our own effort in checking our appointments and on reminding our parents, our grandparents to stay healthy, to make sure that they are able to be vaccinated on time, and there's nothing that they should be worrying about.
Izzati, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Bye.
Bye. That was Nurul Izzati binti Mohamed Nazir, CEO and co-founder of Teman Malaysia, which is a social enterprise that provides care companionship services to the elderly. As we've been discussing, they also recently started an initiative to help senior citizens get to their vaccination sites for free. If you would like to find out how to help sponsor somebody's vaccination trip, essentially, somebody being able to take that trip with a companion, you can find out more at www.temanmalaysia.com. And that number to call is 011-5645-3964. Now, we've been asking you for your thoughts on the proposal that you might get fined if you don't show up for your vaccine appointment. And we have lots of messages. We do also have a call from Dennis on the line with us. Dennis, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you see, I am not for fining people. If you look at the statistics, it shows that about 30 to 40% of our citizens have not registered for their vaccination yet. So we should actually encourage more people instead of fining them. Now, what the government can do is to have my suggestion work a little bit more proactively. In other words, if let's say in a particular day, let's say you are supposed to go there at 9 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock, they would know how many people were supposed to turn up for the 10 o'clock vaccination has not turned up. So straight away, my surgeon can inform those on standby that today they are on standby. You can come at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock. And then you don't let the vaccine go to waste. You have people to be on standby. And by that time, I think you can notify those people that who are on standby to come forward to get their vaccination as well.
Yeah, I think that that's a great idea, especially because MySejahtera is an app that so many of us now have, right?
Right. It's so convenient, you know. Just, you are on standby today, you are registered on standby. Just look at the AZ, vaccination process and the registration. A lot of people are disappointed. So these are the people who can say, today you are on standby. If we have any vacancy, just in case people don't turn up, so are you willing to turn up, let's say, at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, something like that? Then all the vaccine don't go to waste, and there'll be more people getting vaccinated as well. Instead of fining people for not turning up, you're actually pushing people away to get their registration done.
Dennis, thank you so much for calling and for sharing your suggestions. We do now also have other messages that are coming through. So Lin Jarin says, with regards to the fine, yes, only if the government has already put into consideration location, easy access, transportation, etc., that would ease the user experience. And yeah, I think that that's definitely something that needs to be taken into consideration, especially because Well, I mean, we're seeing social enterprises also considering that. And it goes hand in hand, I think, with what's coming through in the messages as well, which is a need for a community effort. I think something else that should be taken into account is also how easy it is to actually notify via MySejahtera that you're not going to be able to show up. And this is something that's just coming to mind, because if you have been vaccinated, you'll know that they're very insistent that if you're not feeling well, you shouldn't show up, right? If you're not feeling well, you shouldn't actually bring yourself to a vaccination center. And I just don't know how that would work. So will I have to take an MC? Will I have to get an MC, rather, to avoid getting fined if I wasn't feeling well and therefore didn't show up? I think there are just a lot of variables that need to be taken into account. We also have Akari, who says, "How can this is so greedy. What if people have even more urgent matters coming up, or something really bad happened to them on the day?" Which is, yeah, exactly the point. We do also have... okay, so on the subject of incentivizing, Freddie says, "Are you kidding? We are already digging into our national kitty and we still think of incentivizing." Freddie, I hear you. I think, to be very clear, the initiatives that I'm thinking of are more from the corporate sector, which is also what we're seeing in other countries. And in the example of Hong Kong that I mentioned earlier, that's actually the property tycoons who are offering it. It's not the government. So I think that there is something to be said for the corporate sector getting involved. Benjamin is saying, if you really want to incentivize Malaysians to take the vaccines, get the corporates to do national service by donating free giveaways, especially... free fast food, and a specific mention of a recent meal involving a popular Korean boy band, guaranteed long queue for vaccines, which is one way to go about things for sure. Keep those thoughts coming. We'll be back to continue looking through these messages. We have so many different opinions coming in. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Do you think that a fine for not showing up for your vaccine appointment is the way to go? This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.